Today we're going to study one responsum dealing with the interaction of mental health with halacha, and specifically OCD, and how halacha deals with mental health. Is it treated similar to physical health? Is it treated differently? So we're going to discuss one tshuva by the Minchas Asher, Siman Kuf Lamed Daled. And it's called Hanhagas Halacha BeOCD. How does halacha deal with OCD? And the tshuva goes like this. Talmud Chacham Mufla V'Yirei Shemayim Marbim She Sovel Mimikra Kashel Shel Obsessiviot. That there's a God-fearing student who suffered from obsessive compulsive disorder. Ulerov Enu Misugal LaHagos Bracha Kilchasa Likro Asa Shema Kilchasa. And for the most part, he's unable to recite a bracha or kriyat shema according to halacha. Ulifi amim nevak huzman rav lo hoil kedei lahoti shem Hashem karoi. And sometimes he spends a lot of time trying to say Hashem's name properly. And v'yesh lo agmas nefesh atzuma. He experiences a lot of anguish. L'das harofim hamumchim b'tchum zeh, according to many experts, medical experts, that the treatment is never to go back in prayer. That if he does not, even if he doesn't feel that he recited the tefillah properly, he should not try it again. This is what's known as exposure and response prevention therapy. It's a form of cognitive behavioral therapy. The idea is that you face your fears. You don't ignore it. You're exposed to your fears, and hopefully you get over it. So you expose yourself to the concern or the fear that you recited a bracha or tefillah and you missed some words, and you learn how to cope with it, and that's how you're healed. So the question is, this Talmud Chacham asked the Shaila, Kasher baro lo keshemesh lo hagat Hashem kadin v'liyot shidei chavasa birchaso. Let's say it's clear as daylight that the Talmud Chacham did not recite the bracha correctly. Hayimutel alecho, is he allowed to eat the food? He makes a bracha on a cracker and he knows he didn't say Shem Hashem. Does he have to go back and recite the bracha, or can he eat the food without reciting the bracha? And then he asks further. And let's say that he's allowed to eat. Should he make sure that he not eat bread in a certain period in a certain period of time so that he will be chayav in birkas hamazon? In other words, even if perhaps we say that if you're not sure whether you recited the bracha, we let you eat the food. Most brachos are only mitzvos derabanan. But maybe he should avoid eating bread. So he would never be in a situation where he would not recite the bracha de oraisa of benching properly. So those are his questions. So Rav Asher Weiss responds by saying, first and foremost, reishis chovaso shel ish zeh lasos kol nidrash al manas limso chaviv mazor marpe lamachla. So that a person needs to, first and foremost, do whatever is required to heal himself from this illness. And then he says, L'shem kach, for this, mutar lo af lavro mitzvos haTorah. He's allowed to bypass or set aside a mitzvah from the Torah. And he says, for one of two reasons. There are two possible reasons. Either one is sufficient, which would allow him not to say a bracha if he recited the bracha first and knows that he didn't say Shem Hashem. So first of all, he says that when it comes to a mitzvah saseh, when it comes to a positive mitzvah, you don't have to spend all your money in order to fill a positive mitzvah. If you have to spend your entire fortune better in order to perform a mitzvah, you don't have to. You can avoid the obligation of whatever the mitzvah saseh is, and not spend money. So says Rav Asher Weiss, if you don't have to spend all your money in order not to fill a mitzvah saseh, certainly, so that you shouldn't get sick, you do not have to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. So his argument is that reciting a bracha is a mitzvah saseh. It's a positive commandment. And you don't have to fulfill a mitzvah saseh if by doing so, that will unfortunately cause you to continue with your illness. If the only way to be healed from this illness, again, he's referring to OCD as an illness. The only way to be healed from this illness is for you not to repeat the bracha, to have this exposure and response prevention therapy. So you're allowed to not recite the bracha, not fulfill the mitzvah asay, as a form of treatment from this sickness. Now, and he points out that, well, wait a second, is reciting a bracha a mitzvah saseh? Is it a positive mitzvah? Or is it mitzvah lo saseh? Or is it an iser? So he cites the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. You're not allowed to derive benefit from this world without a bracha. That would seem to indicate that it's an iser, it's a prohibition. So he says, no. He says, he cites another tshuva, where he said that this is a machlokas rishon, which is a debate amongst different medieval authorities, different halachic authorities, and we hold like Rashi, who says that not reciting a bracha before eating is not a lo taseh, it's not a violation of a prohibition, but rather it's a bittul mitzvah saseh. In other words, you view not reciting a bracha before eating as not fulfilling a mitzvah saseh of reciting a bracha, or do you view it as a lo taseh, that you're not allowed to eat without reciting a bracha? So this is a machlok, this is a debate. And he says, we hold like Rashi. And therefore, reciting a bracha before eating is a mitzvah saseh. So argument number one is, if the Talmud Chacham did not know that he didn't recite the bracha correctly, he is allowed to not recite the bracha again, because this is a form of treatment, even though it results in a bittul mitzvah asay, a cancellation of a mitzvah asay. But he goes, Rav Asher Weiss says, there's a different reason to be lenient. He says that even if you don't hold like Rashi, and even if you hold that you are, that also lavral iser, k'lis rapos, you're not allowed to violate a prohibition in order to be healed, and this is an iser, he applies a principle of mutav, Shechal Shabbos Achas, v'lo yechal Shabbos Harbe. Says that why are you allowed to cure someone who has a potentially life-threatening illness? Why are you allowed to violate Shabbos? You're allowed to drive someone to the hospital and set aside the Torah prohibition of driving someone to the hospital on Shabbos to heal him from a life-threatening illness. So what's the answer? The answer is that better that he violate this one Shabbos so he doesn't have to violate many Shabbos. In other words, by violating this one Shabbos, he will live and he will observe many more Shabbos. So he says, so Rav Asher Weiss applies that to our situation. He says, better let this individual right now, he can't perform many mitzvos. He can't perform the mitzvos of reciting brachos and davening because he's not saying Shem Hashem very often, and he's not davening correctly. Better that he violate the prohibition of reciting a bracha before eating, so that he can have this treatment, and eventually, long term, he'll be healed from this condition, and therefore he is allowed to violate the prohibition of not reciting a bracha, so that he will long-term, be able to fulfill many mitzvahs. And he says that I learned this principle from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer in Or HaChaim, Simon Pei Gimel, explains that there was a situation where there was a child who's Dino Kishota. He was below mental, he lacked mental capacity such that he was not chayav, obligated in mitzvahs. So the question was, in the 19th century, were you allowed to send him to an institution where he'd be cared for, and hopefully it would result in him being treated, and hopefully then he could be cured from the status of being a shota, such that he would now be obligated in mitzvos. But what's the problem? In this institution, yachilu oso machalos asuros. It was a non-kosher institution. They would feed him non-kosher food. Are you allowed to send this individual to an institution to cure him, hopefully, from his status of being a shota, so that he will be obligated in mitzvos, even if it means that you will enabling him to eat non-kosher food? Chassam Sofer says that if there is a chance that he will recover, obviously, then you are allowed to send him there. Even though you're not allowed to feed non-kosher food to another person, nevertheless, it's permitted. Why? Why? Because he says, "Atu chayav manu lashiro shelter pater min mitzvos." Are we not obligated to leave a person in a state of a lack of mental capacity so he'd be exempt from mitzvos? No, you are obligated to do what you can to try to change his status from being someone who's pater min mitzvos to someone who's now going to be obligated in mitzvos. And the proof of the Chassam Sofer is the following Gemara. The Gemara says that, let's say someone's walking in the desert and he doesn't know what day is Shabbos. So the halacha is, you have a 1 in 7 chance that it's Shabbos. So since it might be Shabbos, so what do we say? You're only allowed to do malacha enough that will keep you alive, whatever it is that you need to do to make sure you're alive, but you can't do any more malacha, except you're allowed to keep walking. You're allowed to keep traveling, so hopefully you'll reach some civilization. Now, why are you allowed to you're not allowed to travel outside the Tchum Shabbos, a certain area that you're not allowed to travel. So we're saying here that you're allowed to leave your Tchum Shabbos, you're allowed to keep on traveling. Why? Because, says the Chassam Sofer, and even though to keep yourself, you're only allowed to just minimally do what's necessary to keep yourself alive, but you're allowed to do whatever you can so that you can leave this state when basically you don't know when it's Shabbos, to a situation where you enter civilization and you know when Shabbos is. In other words, you're allowed to violate Isurim even on Shabbos, such that you can hopefully create a situation where you're going to know when Shabbos is, and you'll know, and you'll be, and you'll live life like someone who's knows can perform mitzvos and not Isurim based on his knowledge of when Shabbos is. So similarly, says the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer wanted to say that a person is permitted to violate a prohibition in order to remove yourself from a situation in which you'll be forced to commit that sin 7 times. Because every single day, you're going to have to, you're going to have to do, like, if you're still in the desert, so basically every day you have to do what is necessary to keep yourself alive. So you're going to be setting aside prohibition each and every day. So you're allowed to do what is necessary to get yourself out of that situation. So similarly, and that's why the person is allowed to leave the Tchum Shabbos in order to exit the desert so you can observe Shabbos properly. And for the same reason, said the Chassam Sofer, you're allowed to feed non-kosher foods to a child so that he can recuperate and return to his obligation in the observance of mitzvos. And says Rav Asher Weiss, v'kach nir gam b'dinyo didan, similarly also in our situation, that this person would be allowed to refrain from reciting brachos, reciting kriyat shema and davening in order to be cured and to fulfill the mitzvos according to the halachic procedure, eventually after he is healed. And this is based, again, he writes, based on the Gemara Yoma, Daf Pei Hamad Beis, which is, Chalel Lav Shabbos Achas, K'dei Shishmor Shabbos Harbei. Better to violate mitzvos or yisurim for a short period of time so that you will be cured and you will be able to observe the mitzvos properly. And he goes even farther than this. Rav Asher Weiss applies the principle of what Chazal say in Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel Beis, Gedola Avera Lishma, that a sin that's done Lishma is a great thing. And the Gemara there explains it by Yael, the wife of Chever HaKeni, where she violated the prohibition when she had relations with Sisera in order to lure him to her tent, so she got him drunk, and then she killed him. How is she allowed to do that? Isn't it an Isser? Isn't it a prohibition to commit a sin, even when you have good intentions? So, it seems, says Rav Asher Weiss, that this was a situation that she gave herself to sin to save Klal Yisrael. The truth is, this is the same reason that's brought down why Esther was allowed to have relations with Ahasuerus intentionally. In other words, when she seduced him, when she went to the king unannounced and was planning on seducing him, and the Megillah says Vasher lo chadas, I'm going to come Vasher lo chadas, and then Chazal explains, I'm going to go according to halacha, because until now the king was Ahasuerus was having relations with me against my will, and now I'm going to do it intentionally. Why? Because I want to seduce him to foil the plans of Haman. And there the Marik there points out this example of Avera Lishma. And why is this allowed? Kedei lo shias Yisrael, because you're allowed to sometimes, obviously it's very careful when you're allowed to do this. It can't be done. Person can make their own decision when it's considered Avera Lishma, but there's some ulterior motive. This was to save all of Klal Yisrael. She did this, commit this Avera to save all of Klal Yisrael. This leniency is very narrowly applied, but Rav Asher Weiss wants to say that in the case of Yael, Eishes Chever HaKeni, there was Efshar Binyan Acher, that there's no other option for Yael. But could she allow all Klal Yisrael to die? So he wants to say, it's a little bit of a chiddush, from my opinion at least, wants to say that where Rav Asher Weiss writes, the V'makum Shadas Habrura V'Asfar Yeshara, that when one is clear-headed, their simple logic dictates, that there's no other recourse, and you can't be passive, and you need action, you need reshes pula. And nevertheless, sometimes sin is the way to go, and a verily shema. And Rav Asher Weiss compares it to our situation as well. And he brings he found a letter from the Kilos Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. It's a sefer Karyana de Igrita, similar situation where Rav Kanievsky writes that he instructed a young man that he should pray from a siddur, and even if he already passed some words, he shouldn't repeat for a similar situation. And indeed, this student was healed was cured from his situation, Kilos Yaakov. So that's why Rav Asher Weiss writes, in this situation also, the young man, we should tell him not to repeat the brachos, not to repeat Kriyat Shema, even if he's clearly believes that he didn't recite the bracha with Shev Hashem, he clearly didn't daven correctly, don't repeat it, says Rav Asher Weiss. He then deals with the question, are you allowed to avoid consuming the amount of food to require you to recite Birkas HaMazon? Maybe we should tell this individual, just don't eat bread ever. So maybe, okay, for brachos, which are only drabanan, so that don't repeat. But maybe you shouldn't eat bread so that in that case, we won't recite benching, which is a Torah obligation. And Rav Asher Weiss says, no, he should act normally. He should eat bread because, in fact, this is actually the way to treat him. Because, and you can tell that Rav Asher Weiss has done research on this, on someone who has OCD, on this scenario, on this mental health condition. Because he says that this is the Hareza Tiva Mausa Shemachla Zu, this is the nature, the essence of the of the sickness the person is experiencing. The person's always constantly being afraid. They didn't do what was expected of him. And only when he overcomes these fears, then he can find relief. So if you tell him now that you can't eat bread, he's going to have all these questions that maybe I should eat less bread, less than a shot glass of food, less than a kazayis, I'll have less than a shot glass of food every 9 minutes, and I'll make himself even crazier. And maybe I'll eat my meal, not kederach achila, not the normal way of eating, so I won't be obligated in a bracha. And that obviously will not help him cure himself from the situation. Maybe I'll say I won't. He writes, Shema lo yishan shinas kevakte li patur birchas haTorah. Maybe I won't sleep regularly, like a fixed sleep, so that I won't be obligated to recite birchas haTorah. Because maybe only obligated to recite birchas haTorah, according to everyone, if you sleep a shinas keva, a normal sleep. You can't do that. That's not how you cure the individual, says Rav Asher Weiss. Says, Yishum kach nira baru lemaised yesh lo lino kachol adam. Seems clear. He should behave like any other person would. Uchdarko shalolam. And he should try like the normal way. Ulishtala parachas b'kib mitzvosav. And he should try to fulfill the mitzvah, when he's able to do so. And then the last piece, though, when Rav Asher Weiss was asked, how ketzad yotzi es b'nei beso b'kiddush hayom. Imeinu hoget. As Kehil Chaso, how can he make Kiddush for his family if he doesn't recite Kiddush correctly? So for he himself, he's exempt from reciting Kiddush properly, reciting Brachos properly, reciting Kriya Shema properly. But can he be motzi his family with Kiddush if he's not going to say Kiddush properly? So there, Rav Asher Weiss says, listen, for himself, he has an exemption, but not for the rest of his family. So he says his wife should make Kiddush, or his children, if they're old enough, should make Kiddush. Because the exemption only works for him, but not for his family. And then he writes, Kishayesh Orchim, and when he has guests, Babayas in the house, Yesh Lo Yisgabra Boshto, he should overcome his embarrassment, Ulevakesh Behem Lakadosh Elotzi Oso, and he should ask them to make Kiddush, because of the difficulty that he has. And he says that just like someone is not embarrassed by a physical limitation, there's no reason to be embarrassed from this limitation either. And he should ask someone to make Kiddush for him. What's clear from this tshuva is Rav Asher Weiss did the research. In order to give psak halacha, You have to know the facts, and he clearly knows the facts. He's clearly very sensitive to this condition, and this tshuva is an example of a response to a shaila by someone who is a true gadol, because he is someone who is clearly sensitive to the individual and to his needs, his physical needs, his psychological needs, and also sensitive to halacha, and it's really a pleasure, to read a tshuva like this. As we see, new ways of dealing with different issues of mental health, and Baruch Hashem, our gedolim, our halachic authorities, are thank God well trained, are well informed about these situations, and can find that balance between, on the one hand, sensitivity to the halachic principles and sensitivity to the individual involved.